If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was never much of a morning person, and never felt the need to be. One could easily call me nocturnal. Like any kid halfway through summer breaks, I was perfectly happy to fall headfirst into a rhythm of viciously long nights and late mornings. Mom and Dad were not as keen, always mentioning my late-night escapades and questioning why I wasted my days in bed, since I rarely made my presence known before lunchtime. In this world, it is only acceptable to move about and exist as the sun does. Sure, before electricity and convenience arrived, this was the only logical way of life, but in our new, spoiled society, things are no longer so cut and dry. The vast blue-black sky has faded, muted to an easy gray. Modernity blurred the harsh edges of dark and light. Spouts of sun on cold metal poles and stars on strings are perfectly capable of creating a vivid world past nine. Here I was, a prime example of this shift, thriving at exactly 4:03 a.m. I felt comfortable, having slipped easily into my routine, my laptop propped on my legs, the lights and volume low, an array of discarded snack packs on my nightstand. I was strolling through the internet, moseying my way through an endless supply of entertainment. Subconsciously, I moved through video after video, blowing through hours. Another involuntary part of my night was my dad. He was the kind of person who started drifting to sleep at the dinner table, making his way to bed early and rising all the earlier. I heard the faint sound of his alarm through the small length of hallway and shut the door. I knew the steps to come by heart, accidentally, since my nights and his mornings often collided. The scuffs of bare feet on hardwood, the quick ping of the coffee maker soon followed by its misleading scent trickling through the walls. The roar of the microwave and the four long beeps as it warmed a pastry. The mixed aroma of coffee and baking bread always made me instantly hungry, so I reached for another snack cake to curb my rising appetite. The walls of the house were paper thin, so thin that I listened easily to the smooth pour of the coffee to a mug, the clinking metal of the silverware drawer, and the sporadic coughing, grunting, or sniffling of a man who just woke up. He scuffled his way to the living room and settled in front of the TV, watching the early bird news and enjoying the state of a new day in his own peaceful manner. I secretly loved this distinct little string of sounds, the way anyone loved something warm and familiar. To hear the clicks of the kitchen and my dad's clumsy human noises meant that I was somewhere comfortable, somewhere wholly known to me and I to it. It was these little notes of his morning that generally marked the end of my nights. In what I assumed was a Pavlovian way, I began to feel the ache of slumber in my neck the second the living room TV turned on. I yawned and decided to call it in. I set the laptop aside and hunkered down into the blanket, at peace, and fell asleep quickly without struggle. I awoke just as softly, naturally as the sunlight bore through the window at its peak and the house was alive with the scurries of the weekend. I rolled over lazily, with nowhere to be and no pressing thoughts. There was nothing to make me spring from bed, even though my clock showed it was already pushing noon. It was my hunger that eventually saw me slink from bed and into the hearth of the house. Mom was prepping a roast for dinner, setting chunks of carrot and potato into a large blue pot. She greeted me brightly as I entered, too brightly, and I winced at the sudden shock of sound. She promptly ignored her lazy child and went back to work on the vegetables. I stuck a waffle into the toaster and got a nice large glass of water as it cooked. It popped open, warm and fluffy, and I readily grabbed it, finally dialing up to normal alertness. The afternoon slipped by simply, as it does when there is nothing important to do. And after a delicious roast and quick round of cards, I found myself again in my cavern, ready to spend the night alone in content. I played through a few levels of my game. I watched a few episodes of my current TV show. I fell into the black hole of internet videos. I snacked on many bags of chips and candies. A cough from the hallway startled me back into reality. Time, it seemed, had constantly slid past me today. I checked the clock. 4:11. I waited. Cough, scuff, ping. That'll be his coffee, and that'll be his scone. My dad followed the rhythm perfectly. The tinkling sound of metal against ceramic and the faint warble of the TV rounded out the symphony. And as usual, this lullaby had lulled me into sleep. Sunday morning brought me awake in uncommon clarity. It was one of those days where you don't know why or how, but it starts off good. I moved from the bed shortly after waking, craved a hot shower. I stood, soaked in the warmth for a good 20 minutes before drying, dressing, and appearing in the kitchen once again. This time Mom was on the phone, twirling a strand of hair while she exchanged some conversation with a friend or maybe my uncle. Nothing interesting to me. Dad was not on the couch, meaning he would be out in the garage or on the porch having a smoke. I approached the window and there he was, hunched over the small glass table in a low chair on the deck. The grimy green ashtray on the table was surrounded by little black and white crumbs falling from the half-burnt cigarette in his hand. Mom hated his smoking and the way the scent clung to his clothes and hair, but I didn't mind it. It was just another smell I associated with him, same as the smell of morning coffee and baked bread and the sharp aftershave he used. I tapped the glass and gave him a quick wave, smile, and shrug. He turned, cigarette waiting patiently in front of his lips, giving me a nod and a smile before lowering his eyes and returning his gaze to the backyard. It was an image ingrained in my head, just as comfortable as the hum of his morning routine. The collar of his shirt and the waves of his hair framed by the starch white beams of the porch rails. Tendrils of smoke whirling in seemingly slow motion upwards and away into the short expanse of green lawn and a tall wall of pine trees at its edges. I gave myself a smile, enjoying my little universe. I loved the consistency, the security. I didn't know it at the time, but I didn't want to be anywhere else. Any kid with no real problems knows the privilege of being perpetually carefree, and anyone who grows and finds themselves on troubled steps can understand the struggle to meet their new reality. Then, I was 14. Ignorant, blissful. Now, grown, I yearn for these beautiful, perfect, boring days, specifically this boring day in the middle of the summer. This Sunday. Who I was then, and who I was 24 hours later, is the starkest contrast, and one that I've mulled over every day since. Back at 14, back on that Sunday, I moved through the easy motions of the day, making cereal for lunch and shopping with Mom through the afternoon and deciding on Chinese for dinner. Nothing crossed my mind but the simple idea of my homegrown world. No clue that the walls of my world would bulge and collapse within a day. After dinner, I was keen to get to my room, to do exactly what I spent every night doing. I read, I played, I ate junk. I did nothing. Twilight came effortlessly again, surprising me with the first clunky sounds of that morning song. I heard the soft shut of my parents' bedroom door and the scuffling on the hardwood. I followed the sound as it moved past my bedroom door. I think my system clued into the difference in the sound before I even processed it. It sounded heavy, but louder than usual, just enough to be noticed after a moment. I tuned in more consciously, picking up on the changes. I heard no coughing and no sniffling, no certain indication of my dad. I found myself scared and embarrassed to be scared. Some pragmatic part of my mind told me that it was obviously my dad, and that I was being stupid. but I knew it was offbeat. It was different enough to be a foreign sound in the night, in my house, the sort of movement that viscerally drives through you, cycling pure fear and paranoia around the brain. I tried to relax, definitely stayed quiet, and continued listening, waiting for the familiar morning sounds to calm my boiling insides. I heard the coffee brewing, heard it pour, heard the clinking of a spoon in the cup. I heard the microwave as it heated a pastry. I tried to tell myself it was the paranoia, but it was all distinctly louder than usual. It was all distinctly wrong. The coffee didn't pour smoothly and comfortably. It sloshed and drowned and splattered against the mug. The silverware didn't clink. It clanged and ticked and spun too quickly and too harshly. It rang through my head and kept me still as stone. There remained stark absence of grunts and coughs, any mouth sound that could route the noises to my dad and bring some sort of peace. No smells of bread or coffee floated into my room, only sounds that rubbed me wrong. I could do nothing else but keep listening and keep waiting. I heard the beeps of the microwave just as loud and clear as ever. I almost breathed a sigh of relief at having found a regularity to cling to. A fifth beep. I subconsciously knew that microwave back to front could tell its sound anywhere. It only chimed 4 times when the time ran out. The last bell rang out, a beat later and long, too long. I filled with heat, the fear sitting in my stomach like a hot coal. I heard the same large scuffs, the heavy, empty air that was usually peppered with the groans of morning. I heard the TV come to life, again, too loud, and the noise soaked me in dread. No news, no morning weather, just a dull, all-consuming bright static in my ears. I waited, and waited for the regular sounds of weather and traffic reports, something, God, something to return me to normalcy. The light of my laptop dimmed away, having been left untouched long enough to fall into sleep mode. I didn't move to retrieve the light, so fully consumed in my hearing. The dark room lent itself as a projector for my mind. As I listened, I pictured the TV on, white and gray and angry with static, with a mannish silhouette in front of it. The man loomed, standing too tall, too long, just a black shape in the light of the screen, sloshing his coffee, slamming the metal into the sides of the cup, sliding across the floor, not making a single human sound. Slink, clunk. My imagination ran wild. The man grew horns and his body hunched at all the wrong angles. Coffee splattered, ceramic broke against the pounding drum of the spoon. The static grew louder. My imagination ran wilder. Horrific images flooded my mind as the static wore on and on. I couldn't handle it. What could I do? No way in hell was I going to leave the room. I couldn't meet the creature I had conjured in my mind, and I was too scared to go find my parents. I did the only thing a kid knows to do. The only thing that makes sense to me. I tried to shut it out, to go back to normal. I moved from the bed, stiff as a board, slowly clicking the lock on the door just in case. I searched my backpack, finding my headphones tangled in the very bottom. I stuck them in my ears and plugged them into my computer with a shaky hand. I tried to get comfortable, moving into the blankets further and further, trying to find the place of solace I so breezily knew just minutes ago. I put my songs on shuffle. I didn't care what I heard as long as it wasn't that eerie, crippling static. I closed my eyes and willed myself to sleep. And though it didn't come gently or readily, it eventually took me. Of course, my dream was littered with the worries of the night. I slept rough, awaking in fright, finding nightmares rolled into consciousness and losing track of which was which, constantly riding the line between sleep and wake, not really knowing when I was in either, and moving through each too rapidly. It was the gritty, horrible, incessant screaming that truly panicked me to life. It's like waking up to a house alarm or a smoke detector. A sudden, brash wash of noise that jerks you awake before your brain can even realize, and it doesn't cease. The piercing sound goes on, and you're forced to pull yourself into an alert state of mind through the chaos. Something beyond your nerves and muscles and bone you have to turn on. Shake yourself to life. Swim to the surface too fast. It is overwhelming and terrible. And even worse when your groggy, overloaded brain realizes it's your mother's scream rippling through the walls of your home, urging it awake. I moved quickly, failing as I tried to run before my body had caught up to me. My knees burned, but it barely mattered. I knew the raw-throated yells were coming from their bedroom. I burst through the door, shaking and wild-eyed, heart pounding. I hadn't had time to consider what waited for me in the room. I didn't process what had happened the night before. I didn't process what time it might have been, or the scrapes on my knees, or the fact I was wearing next to nothing in my parents' room. Processed my mother, halfway on the ground at my dad's side of the bed, head down, wailing, her arms above her, gripping my dad at the waist. My dad. I looked at him, blinked, kept looking, and blinked again. My ears rang. A vignette huddled my vision, and I sank to the floor as the world went dark. Sudden cardiac arrest. That's what the police said happened. So swift and silent that neither my sleeping mother nor my fully aware self had noticed. Approximate time of death, 12 a.m. I barely remember the details of that morning, or the details even of that week. I remember coming to consciousness in the presence of a team of responders. I remember being pulled from the house in a daze, still riding the line of dark and light. I remember my mom crumpled on the ground, alive but with lifeless eyes amidst another group of strangers. I remember the black body bag they tried to keep me from seeing. I remember the funeral, the itchy suit, the two close relatives, and the pointless array of sorries and goodbyes. But more than anything, I remember the sound of something slinking on the hardwood. I remember the piercing fifth beat of the microwave timer that sung too long. I remember the surge of coffee against ceramic, and the clattering of metal hard enough to make it shatter. I remember the thick silences in between, too clear of groaning and coughing and sniffling. And of course, the static. The unending static, crescendoing and filling my mind with abhorrent images. It's hard to forget, because every night I still hear them. Every night in the same bed, in the same house that was completely the same yet completely wrong. The trickle of sounds always started at 4 a.m. The never-ending static that buzzed its way through walls and doors and headphones and pillows and painted nasty pictures in my mind for years to come. The sweet song of my dad's cozy mornings had been stolen and gnarled into my own personal nightmare. Every sound that brought me good memories or comfort was chipped away night by night, scuff by scuff. I've tried to move on as normal. Sleeping became a chore, a battle that I always lost. I followed my routine, the shadows and the games and the snacks. There was nothing else that could be done. I moved out at 18, so eager to escape the hellish loop I lived in. I went to school and grew up, and the noises didn't follow, at least not tangibly. In my head, they were as strong as ever, as clear as moonlight, clinking through in perfect succession like film on reel. I did not think I would get an easy night's sleep again. I lingered on the days before and wondered what brought this curse upon me. Just as I will never know peace in sleep, I fear I will never know peace in this life I have been given. I close my eyes again and try to put this world to waste in favor of a different one.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.